Hi, I'm Robin.
And I'm Chris. Together we're the Gen X couple.
Hey guys.
Take three, not my fault.
No, the first one was totally your fault, but the second one was my fault, so we're 50-50 right now. And now here we are at the beginning, or actually more towards the middle of December already, and I can't believe how fast the holidays are coming up.
This time of year always flies by for me.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You know, between wrapping up school projects that are due before vacation, cookie swaps, holiday parties, baking, wrapping, writing out your Christmas cards, Santa visits, and the million other things we all have to do this month, it definitely goes by fast.
Yep, but we're almost there now. Christmas is less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah, and those 2 weeks are probably going to feel like 2 days.
You're probably right. Just speaking for us, our calendar is full now until Christmas.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of you guys are probably in the same boat, because that's just the time of year it is. And that's why we thought today we would keep things light, and we're going to talk about some bizarre Christmas traditions from around the world. So you guys can go start your wrapping and let us keep you company while you get it done. Or not. No worries. You still have plenty of time if you're a last-minute wrapper.
Christmas traditions vary widely in other countries, and some are really quite unique. Here are a few bizarre or less-known Christmas traditions from around the world.
Yeah, and before I tell you about the first one, I just want to say real quick that I'm probably going to mess up some pronunciations. Worse than Chris would, maybe, maybe not, because a lot of these aren't in English, but I just wanted to give you a heads up. I will do my best, I promise.
And I'll still probably mispronounce those simple words.
Yeah, we know. That's why we love you. So let's start with this one from Catalonia, Spain, called Cagatío, which translates to pooping log. Yeah, I said pooping. In Catalonia, a hollow log known as a cagatío is decorated with a painted smiling face and a red sock hat. That tradition begins in early December, usually on December 8th, which for religious people is also the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And that's when the families bring out the Tia de Nadal, which is short for Christmas log. And then they quote-unquote feed it daily with treats like candy, fruit, or nuts. And then they often cover it with a blanket to keep it warm. And this is done as part of the Christmas countdown.
And then on Christmas Eve, the kids hit the log with sticks while singing traditional songs. The act of hitting the log is done to urge it to poop. The log then poops small gifts, nuts, and candy for children to find that have been hidden inside.
Yeah, and then the tradition continues until the log is empty, at which point it will poop out salted herring, onions, or cloves of garlic, and or urinate water. The origins of the tradition are unclear, but one theory is that it started as a pagan tradition to celebrate the winter solstice.
That sounds kind of fun, but not.
No, I think it does sound kind of fun, especially me as a boy mom. I think my tolerance for potty humor is a little higher than maybe some other people.
Well, moving on, now we want to tell you why so many people in Japan eat KFC on Christmas.
I could go for a biscuit right now, actually.
I could too. We should go after this recording.
Yes, please.
So I bet you're wondering why many Japanese families eat KFC on Christmas.
Well, I definitely am.
Well, back in the 1970s, KFC, also known as Kentucky Fried Chicken, ran a pretty successful marketing campaign, and eating KFC on Christmas has become a popular tradition ever since.
We should make that our tradition. I mean, no cooking and delicious KFC? That sounds like a win to me. But in Japan, it all started when Tashiki Okawara, who was the manager of the first KFC in Japan, noticed that foreigners living in Japan during the holiday season were craving that traditional Christmas turkey dinner. And that was hard to find over there. So he had the idea to promote KFC chicken as a substitute, branding it as a festive meal. The concept took off with a nationwide campaign called, I'm going to apologize in advance because I am going to butcher this, Curry Sumasu Niwa Kentucky, which is short, or which translates to Kentucky for Christmas, back in 1974.
Since then, it's become a Christmas tradition for many Japanese families to enjoy a special KFC meal on December 24th or 25th. Families have to pre-order their meals weeks in advance because demand is incredibly high. KFC also offers special Christmas packages that often include fried chicken, cake, and an assortment of side dishes like salad and wine.
That's kind of similar to us having to pre-order our Chinese food on New Year's Eve, I think. I mean, obviously not weeks in advance, but definitely a day or two before.
Yes, exactly.
So the KFC Christmas feast has become so iconic in Japan that it's not just about the food. It's now a huge part of the festive season, much like the turkey dinner is here in Western countries.
It just goes to show you the power of a great marketing campaign.
Yeah, it sure does. And now for something completely different, we're going to talk about the Yule Lads in Iceland. Iceland is actually the top thing on my bucket list right now. And I want to see the Northern Lights, but I really want to see an elf. They have elves over there in Iceland, and that's my goal in life, is to run into an Icelandic elf.
The Yule Lads are a fun and quirky part of Icelandic Christmas folklore.
Icelandic?
Yep.
The Yule Lads are 13 mischievous characters known as Jólasveinar, not spelled the way it's pronounced. That Icelandic language is very complicated. So the Jólasveinar visit children during the 13 nights leading up to Christmas, starting on December 12th. And then a different Yule Lad will visit each night. And each of these pranksters has a distinct personality and behavior, ranging from playful tricks to more disruptive antics. So I'm going to tell you the English translations of their names, because I would literally never be able to pronounce them in Icelandic. And then I'm going to tell you what all their unique traits are. So the first one is Sheepcoat Claude, and he harasses sheep but has stiff legs. Next is Gully Gawk, and he hides in gullies to steal milk. Next is Stubby, and he's short and steals leftover food from pans. The next one is Spoon Licker, and he steals and licks wooden spoons. Pot Scraper steals unwashed pots and eats the leftovers. Bowl Licker hides under beds and snatches bowls. The next one, Door Slammer, I guess you guys can probably figure out what he does, but he slams the doors mainly at nighttime.
That's our kids, exactly.
Oh my God. Like, for real though, our 20-year-old, his bedroom door is across from my bedroom door, and he's out there at all hours of the night slamming the door. And whenever I say to him, hey, can you please not slam your door so loud in the middle of the night? His response is, I never slam my door. Well, guess what? You do, because it wakes me up like almost every night. I could go off about this for the rest of the episode, but I'm not. I'm going to get back to number 8 on the list, which is, it's Skyr, Skyr Gobbler. And this lad likes to eat Skyr, which is a traditional Icelandic yogurt. Next is Sausage Swiper, and he hides to steal sausages that are being smoked. Next is Window Peeper, and he peeks through windows to steal stuff. Number 11 is Doorway Sniffer. He has a huge nose and sniffs out Christmas goodies. I can also sniff out Christmas goodies. Number 12 is a Meat Hook, and he uses a hook to steal meat. And then the last one is Candle Stealer, and he follows children to steal their candles, which used to be a very valuable item. And the Yule Lads are part of a broader Icelandic Christmas mythology that blends humor and dark warnings for children.
Children will leave their shoes by the window, and every night the Yule Lads leave small gifts in the shoes. Naughty children, however, might find a potato instead, which me and Marsha would be okay with, because we can use the potato to make fries.
Though their origins were darker and more sinister, the Yule Lads have become more lighthearted over time, and now they embody more of a quirky, humorous spirit during Iceland's Christmas celebrations.
And while we're talking about Iceland, let's talk about the Yule Cat.
Yeah, the Yule Cat is a fearsome creature from Icelandic Christmas folklore that roams the countryside during the holiday season. And unlike the playful Yule Lads, the Yule Cat is a large, menacing feline known for its dark and intimidating nature.
And according to legend, the Yule Cat devours anyone who has not received new clothes by Christmas Eve. This strange tradition originated as a way to encourage people, particularly workers, to finish processing the autumn wool before the holiday, because those who completed the work were rewarded with new clothes.
Oh, I like that. The Yule Cat became a symbol of diligence and hard work, with the threat of being eaten serving as a reminder to stay productive. Today, the Yule Cat is still part of Icelandic Christmas folklore, but it's often depicted as a fearsome but whimsical character, which is tied to the idea of receiving new garments during the festive season.
I've never heard of the Yule Lads or the Yule Cat before.
Yeah, me neither, but I'm definitely down for some new clothes.
Of course. That's the part of the story you pick up on.
You know it. So this next one I wouldn't necessarily classify as bizarre, but I thought it sounded really cool, so I wanted to include it. And it's the Giant Lantern Festival in the Philippines. The Giant Lantern Festival, known locally as Ligligan Parul, I'm so sorry that I mispronounced that, Ligligan Parul, and it's an annual festival that's held in San Fernando in the Philippines. This event is celebrated every December before Christmas, and it showcases enormous, intricately designed lanterns. The lanterns have intricate patterns, colors, and even moving lights. The designs often reflect themes of Filipino culture, Christmas traditions, and local pride. The lanterns can reach up to 20 feet in diameter, and like I mentioned, they're illuminated with thousands of light bulbs, which would obviously create a dazzling light show. And then some of them are even synchronized with music, and that makes an amazing Christmas display.
San Fernando is known as the Christmas capital of the Philippines because of this festival.
I kind of want to go see that. It sounds amazing.
Let's add it to the list.
Yeah, I'm going to add it right now. And I'm also now going to tell you about one that I most definitely will not be adding to the list, and that's eating worms.
Worms, veto.
Yeah, I did say worms, and I agree with that, veto. In South Africa, one of the more unusual Christmas traditions, particularly in rural areas, involves eating mopane worms or mopani worms. And it's unusual to us here in the U.S. because there aren't too many of us that eat worms, but these worms are not actual worms. They're the caterpillars of the emperor moth, and they're considered a delicacy in many parts of Southern Africa, including South Africa. Mopane worms are rich in protein and are commonly eaten during Christmas, especially in the northern regions of South Africa. The worms would be harvested, dried, and then eaten either as a snack or cooked into various dishes. And while they're not directly associated with Christmas in a religious sense, they often make their way into the festive table due to their availability during the holiday season.
Mopane worms are typically harvested from mopane trees. Then they are boiled, dried, and sometimes fried or cooked with tomatoes, onions, and spices.
For many communities in South Africa, mopane worms are an important source of nutrition. During the Christmas season, they symbolize abundance, and they're enjoyed sometimes alongside the other festive meals that they cook up, like including grilled meats and things like that.
That's very interesting. I don't know if I could do that.
Maybe if they were cooked into something else and I didn't realize I was eating worms, maybe.
Yeah, they do boil, dry, and sometimes fried or cooked with tomatoes, onions, and spices.
Yeah. So while eating the worms may seem unusual to outsiders, it's a tradition rooted in South African culture and that blends the country's rich culinary heritage with its festive celebrations. So I'm going to pass on the worms and I'm going to move on to tell you about the tradition of hiding brooms on Christmas Eve in Norway. And it's an old superstition in Norwegian folklore. According to legend, Christmas Eve is a night when witches and evil spirits are particularly active, and they seek out brooms to ride on throughout the night. So to prevent the witches from finding their brooms, people would hide them away, usually in secure places like a closet or a locked room, to avoid attracting mischief or bad luck.
While this tradition is not as widely practiced today, it's a fun reminder of Norway's rich folklore and the blending of pre-Christian beliefs with modern Christmas celebrations.
Yeah, I'm loving all this folklore from the different countries. And here's another interesting tradition for you guys, and this time it's from the Ukraine. In the Ukraine, spiderweb decorations for Christmas stem from a popular folktale. And the story goes that a poor widow couldn't afford to decorate her family's Christmas tree, and during the night, a group of spiders spun beautiful webs all over it. When the family woke up on Christmas morning, the webs had turned into shimmering silver and gold threads. And this tale is why Ukrainians often include spider and spider web ornaments as part of their Christmas decorations. So those ornaments would symbolize good fortune and prosperity for the coming year. It's common to find Ukrainian Christmas trees adorned with small spider figures and intricate, delicate web decorations, which are usually made of tinsel or fine threads, and those would represent the miracle of the spider's gift. The spiderweb decorations are not only a nod to this heartwarming legend, but also a unique part of the Ukrainian culture during the holiday season.
I really love that one.
Yeah, me too. And do you want to take this next one?
Sure. In Estonia, a Christmas sauna is a traditional and festive way to celebrate the holiday seasons. Families or friends gather in the sauna to relax, enjoy each other's company, and sometimes take part in special rituals or traditions, like using birch branches to enhance the sauna experience. And after the sauna, it's common to enjoy traditional Estonia Christmas foods and drinks. This blend of relaxation and celebration makes the Christmas sauna a wonderful, hot tradition.
Yeah, it's considered an important part of the Christmas celebrations in Estonia, and it's thought to bring good health and purification for the coming year. And a Christmas sauna is also a tradition in Finland. Many Finnish families enjoy a sauna on Christmas Eve, often before the holiday meal. It's a time to relax and prepare for the festivities. Some families even have a special Christmas sauna menu, which can include traditional Finnish dishes and treats. The sauna is also seen as a place to reflect and spend some quality time with family during the holiday season. Now moving over to Mexico, Las Posadas is a traditional Mexican celebration that takes place from December 16th through December 24th, and it commemorates Mary and Joseph's search for shelter in Bethlehem before the birth of Jesus. The term posada means inn or shelter in Spanish.
During this event, participants reenact Mary and Joseph's journey by going from house to house, singing carols and asking for shelter. They are usually denied entry until they reach a designated house where they are welcomed in for a festive celebration. The nights often include singing, prayers, piñatas, and traditional foods.
Yeah, I love that. Over in Italy, they celebrate La Befana. And La Befana is a traditional Italian celebration that takes place on January 6th, marking the end of the Christmas season and the Epiphany. According to legend, La Befana is an old woman who flies on a broomstick and delivers gifts to children. She is said to visit homes on the night of January 5th and fill stockings with sweets for the good kids and coal or dark candy for the naughty ones.
Here's a fun one from Germany. The tradition of hiding a pickle ornament in the Christmas tree is a fun German custom. According to the tradition, the pickle ornament is hidden deep within the branches of the Christmas tree. And on Christmas morning, the first child to find the pickle gets an extra present or is said to have good luck for the coming year.
I love that. And in Sweden, it's a Christmas tradition to watch a very special broadcast of Disney's From All of Us to All of You featuring Donald Duck. Many Swedes gather around the TV for this annual broadcast, which has become a central part of their holiday traditions. This TV special has been broadcast on Swedish televisions every Christmas Eve since 1959.
I'm sure you love that because I know how much you love Donald Duck.
Yeah, Donald is my favorite. And now let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about roller skating to church?
Never.
That's probably a good thing because here in New England, it's pretty cold in December and not necessarily the time to be out there roller skating. But in Venezuela, it's a tradition to roller skate to church on Christmas morning. This custom is particularly popular in Caracas, and it's known as Misa de Aguinaldo. I'm so sorry to all my Spanish-speaking friends. I know I butchered that word. Families and friends join in a festive parade, often dressed in vibrant, colorful attire, and they usually carry small Christmas lights or decorations with them. The roller skating adds a fun and communal element to the celebration, and it's a pretty unique way to celebrate the holiday spirit. And as we're nearing to the end, we're going to go dark for a minute. And Chris, do you want to take this next one?
Absolutely. Let's talk about Krampus for a minute. Krampus is a figure from Central Europe folklore. Central European folklore.
Thank you.
Particularly in countries like Austria, Germany, and parts of the Czech Republic. Traditionally, Krampus is depicted as a horned, beast-like creature who accompanies St. Nicholas during the Christmas season. While St. Nicholas rewards well-behaved children with gifts, Krampus is said to punish those who have misbehaved. He is often portrayed with chains, bells, in a bundle of birch sticks, and his role is to scare children into good behavior. The Krampus tradition includes Krampus Night on December 5th, where people dress up as Krampus and participate in parades and festivals.
Wow, I didn't know half of that. I knew of Krampus, but I didn't know most of that. And before we completely wrap this up, of course I'm going to mention Belschnickel. You guys know I love The Office, and the only reason I even know about Belschnickel is because of Dwight Schrute. So Belschnickel is another figure from German folklore related to the Christmas season. And unlike Krampus, Belschnickel is more of a mischief maker than purely a malevolent character. He's usually depicted as a bearded man wearing tattered clothes, sometimes covered in fur, and he carries either a switch or a bundle of sticks with him. The tradition of Belschnickel involves him visiting children in the weeks leading up to Christmas. He would test their behavior by asking them questions or giving them tasks to perform. The well-behaved children might receive treats or small gifts, while those who were naughty could be threatened with receiving nothing. In The Office, Dwight Schrute dresses up as Belschnickel for the Christmas party, for the office Christmas party in the episode Dwight's Christmas, which is season 9, episode 9, for those of you who haven't seen it and want to go watch it. And I highly recommend that you do, because it's one of the greatest comedies of our time. So in the episode, Dwight portrays Belschnickel as a sort of Christmas enforcer who combines elements of the traditional German folklore character with his own unique spin. Rainn Wilson is a phenomenal actor, and I'm just going to leave it at that. You guys should definitely go watch the episode.
I love the diversity and creativity with which different cultures celebrate Christmas. I love the uniqueness they all add to the global holiday celebrations.
Yeah, for sure. I loved it too. It was really fun to put this episode together and learn about all these different traditions, because I really didn't know about any of them. Except I had heard of Krampus, but other than that, I hadn't really heard of any of these. So I loved it. And we hope you guys liked it too. Be sure to tune in next week, because we're actually going to be doing a roundup of all our Christmas favorites. And we're going to tell you our favorite Christmas movies, best gifts, favorite Christmas songs, all things Christmas. So be sure to come back next Thursday for that.
And thank you so much for listening today. And if you love it, be sure to tell your friends. And if you hated it, be sure to tell your enemies. And connect with us on socials at the Gen X Couple on Instagram or Twitter. Or you can email us at the Gen X Couple podcast at gmail.com. And until next time, see you later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile.